Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Dallas Stevens.
As I said before, Pastor Matt is out today, and so you get me. Woo-hoo! Yeah, I know. Terrifying for some of you, myself included. So as we said earlier, as we kicked off the service, today is Pentecost Sunday. And I have my little slides up here somewhere. Today is Pentecost Sunday. So does anyone know what that means? What it is? I didn't either, because even though I grew up as a good charismatic kid, we talked a lot about the day of Pentecost, but I didn't really know exactly where it came from, so I had to do a little digging. Pentecost is a feast that the Jews celebrated. Actually, they called it the Feast of Weeks. It was 50 days from Passover, or what we would call our Easter. The reason it was called Feast of Weeks is because it was like a week of weeks. So there's 7 weeks, 49 days. On the 50th day was Pentecost. It was a harvest celebration, and it was just one of the main feasts that the Hebrews celebrated. What we probably know it more. More of now is the celebration of when the early church received the Holy Spirit. That's kind of what I grew up knowing. We talk about Pentecost a lot in the tradition that I grew up in. And so, so that's Pentecost. Earlier in the week, I don't know if you guys follow the socials or not, but I put a question out there. Simple question. I said, are you filled with the Spirit? We didn't do a poll or anything like that, but I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands this morning. But that's a question I want to ask you guys today, is are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And do you know what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, like I said, I grew up in kind of a charismatic tradition, so a lot of the words surrounding being filled with the Spirit were a little confusing sometimes. You hear people say baptized in the Spirit. You hear people say the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, which is kind of crazy. I read that the Celtic Christians actually called the Holy Spirit the Holy Goose because it could not be tamed. I love that. It's funny to me because, you know, we see all these Christian symbols with the dove, and that's kind of it's kind of become a thing. I think it's even in one of our logos we have the dove. But how much cooler would it be if it was a goose just flying through the air and, or just chasing you around a pond because it can't be tamed. Those are kind of some of the things that surround just the terminology. It's kind of weird, maybe kind of odd for some people, myself included. Even growing up with it, the terminology was confusing, and so I just want to take just a few moments today and just kind of talk about some of those things. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? So, I will say this. If you look at 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? So we're talking to Christians here, and it says, so you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Similarly, in 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So I will say this. For everyone that believes in Jesus, for everyone who is a follower of Christ, you do have the Holy Spirit inside you. Okay? So every believer has an experience of the Holy Spirit. But brace yourselves. Not every believer is full of the Holy Spirit. So what do you think that means when I say full of the Holy Spirit, as opposed to just being, having the Holy Spirit inside you? And you guys remember that, man, can we get some of that low-end hum? It's just kind of, can we get some of that EQ'd out maybe? Do you guys remember a few months back, Pastor Matt did a series about the Holy Spirit, did a sermon, and he had the big glass jar and the all the little ping pong balls inside, and then he put the water in. What happened when we put the water in? Right? Okay, so when you started out, there's just some water down there, some ping pong balls. It wasn't really full of water, right? And if we're saying that the water is representative of the Holy Spirit, as it began to fill it up with the Holy Spirit, what happened? The ping pong balls began to, they fell out, right? Remember what the ping pong balls represented? Sin. You guys are awesome. So, every believer has an experience with or of the Holy Spirit. Every believer has this Holy Spirit dwelling inside them. It's what we call the indwelling presence of God. When you become a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes inside you and it takes up residence. So I was talking with one of our other pastors, Andy, over at the Central Campus a couple days back, and he had this really cool thing that he said about the Holy Spirit. And one of the ways we can tell if we're full of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit just resident in your life, or is the Holy Spirit president of your life? And so I had to confess that I had to think twice about that one for myself. And I had to... my voice is a little bit different than Matt's voice. Sorry about that. Anyway, I had to just think hard about that. Is the Holy Spirit really the president of my life? And I will honestly tell you that a lot of times, yes. But all the time... probably not. I need to be filled on a continual basis. So when we talk about being filled, that we are full of the Holy Spirit, we talk about things like having a full life in Jesus, having an abundant life. One of my favorite... Man, I'm sorry. That is just weirding me out. One of my favorite metaphors for the Holy Spirit is the breath of God. And I think we've talked about that before. The Hebrews called that the Ruach of God, and the Greeks called it the Pneuma. And that's the breath of life, the breath of the Holy Spirit that fills us. All right, I'm going to go over to Ephesians 3:16. I'm going to check some stuff out here. So... this is Paul talking to the church in Ephesus. And he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. All right. That's a lot to just kind of take in there. But so when we look at that, these are the things that the Holy Spirit brings, right? So first thing is power. Paul says, I pray that out of the glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And so when we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, being full of the Holy Spirit, and letting the breath of God be within us, we are talking about the power of God reigning inside of us. All right, well, this is not working out. Let's just do this. Is that better? All right, sorry about that. All right, so we're talking about the power of God being within us. In our inner being, the Holy Spirit gives us power to live the life that is pleasing and to the Lord. It gives us power to withstand temptation. It gives us power to do things that we could not do in our own. Start healing people that you know, people that the community knew that was a beggar and was lame, and they healed him. And when people start seeing miracles, it kind of freaks them out, kind of gets them excited, right? So a crowd gathered. And so this is in Acts 3. And so the Sadducees were pretty upset about this because they were making a big to-do. And make them, the Sadducees, look foolish, right? And so they arrest Peter. And he goes to speak to all the Sadducees, all the suits, I call them the suits, all the suits, you know, the lawyers and the grand poobahs of the religion, right? And so he's talking to them. In Acts 4:8, we can see that there. We see this. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people. And so he begins to do the spiel. and he's very eloquent. He says all these things that honestly probably were not from him. They were from the Holy Spirit. And so he continues on, and the Sadducees are very surprised. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. So they were amazed that these two regular dudes, right? Not long ago, Peter was just fishing in a boat, doing some stuff that fishermen do. Probably was not the cleanest of guys, probably didn't have a clean mouth, probably didn't really, I mean, he was just like a dude, right? And so he begins hanging out with Jesus and he begins being transformed. And then when he's empowered by the Holy Spirit, he starts doing some crazy stuff. They realized that he had been with Jesus. So the Sadducees are kind of in a pickle, right? Because he's done some great stuff. The people are excited about it. It kind of made the Sadducees look bad, but they didn't want to make the people mad because there's some great stuff that happened. And then they could not deny that these miracles actually happened. So they talked amongst themselves and they decided they're going to let Peter and John go. So Peter and John go back to their friends, back to all the rest of the disciples who had been recently filled with the Spirit, right? And the friends were super excited about what had happened, and they began to pray for boldness, and they were once again filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so what I want to look at here is just two chapters ago, all these guys, when I say these guys, that means that's no gender, right? They're just all the guys and the girls, all the guys. They were there, and they were filled with the Spirit in Acts 2. So we looked again in Acts 4 and said, Peter being filled with the Spirit. And then once again, after he talked to his friends, it says again he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So why do you think that is? Why within just a short time they had this amazing encounter with the Holy Spirit? Why do you think that they were filled multiple times? And the language is important too. It says Peter filled with, or in some translations it says being filled with. And so once upon a time I was an English major, and I know there's like some actually real English people in the building, so I'm gonna be real careful. But the thing I like about this is being filled with is kind of like, it didn't happen in the past, right? It's not happening in the future. It's currently happening, right? When you say is being filled with, that's happening right now, okay? So in this short 2.5 chapters, Peter and John were filled with the Holy Spirit multiple times. Why do you think that is? I'm so glad you want to know. I'm so glad. Dramatic pause, right? It's because we leak, all right? That's the funny thing right there. You're supposed to laugh at that. Right. We need a laugh track in here to help everyone know when to laugh. No, it's because we leak, right? And it's also to show us that even these amazing disciples of Jesus, just two chapters after they were encountering the Holy Spirit for the very first time, and did all these crazy things, spoke in other tongues, began to prophesy, just 2.5 chapters, they're encountering the Holy Spirit again, and then and again, they're being filled with the Holy Spirit. So why does it tell us that? And so as we will know for ourselves that it's an ongoing process, right? That it is something that we continually do, is to ask to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-time thing. It's not something you do and you get it and it's good, right? In Revelation 21, John's account of all this, the stuff he saw there. Jesus says this. He's sitting on the throne, and he says, "Behold, I am making all things new." And in that same manner of Jesus is making all things new, it's a continual ongoing process. And so we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. Every time we get an opportunity, Lord, fill me up with more of you, and let all the stuff that does not need to be inside me, let it be flushed out. The more time I spend with you, the more time I spend in your presence, the more time I spend in your word, the more I begin to look like you. They noticed that Peter had been with Jesus. It makes a point to say, like, these dudes have been with Jesus. And so they could see that they were marked by Jesus, by the way that they were changed and by the way that they were transformed. If you go back to those things we're talking about in Ephesians, where we get the power, we are birthed in love, we're rooted in him, and we're given supernatural understanding, we have the encounter with Jesus, the encounter with the Spirit, we're transformed. That's not just a one-time thing. It's not like a list of things we check off, right? It's kind of like a loop. The more we do these things, the more we spend time with God, the more his power permeates who we are, the more we're transformed into his likeness. So the thing I like about this, well, I was going to show you a picture, but I forgot to put the picture in the presentation. So I'll just tell you about this picture. In my office, or as I like to call it, my cloffice. If you know, you know. It used to be a closet, and now it's my office. So I have a print of, it's called Walking on the Water. And it's a print of Peter walking out to Jesus. And to the point where when I first saw this print, I was working at a Christian bookstore, and we had all these you know, frippy Jesus-y gifts and stuff like that. And so, you know, that every good Christian has in their house and that stuff like that. But I saw this, and I was like, man, that really is interesting. Because before I saw this print, I had imagined things so much differently than this picture depicted it. So it's black and white. It's kind of a pencil drawing almost. And Peter is just like stretching out his arms to Jesus like this. The waves are overtaking him, and Jesus is reaching out to him. The boat is about to be sunk. It's just crazy. And so when I saw that, I was like, man, that really just changed my perspective of what that was like. Because really, in my mind, as I read the Bible, I'm thinking, okay, they see Jesus coming, and Peter's like, dude, I want to go see Jesus because I'm cool. And so, Lord, call me out, and I'll come to you. And so he goes, he's bold, and he's kind of brash, right? So he's like, I'll be the guinea pig, let me go out there. And so he walks out to Jesus. But what happens, if you know the story, he gets distracted by the waves, and he begins to sink, and he calls out to Jesus, "Save me, Lord." And so this picture really spoke to me, and so I ended up being they gave it to me as a gift working at that store, but I still have it on my wall today. That was 20 plus years ago, and it just reminds me about the characteristics that I hold that are very similar to Peter, right? Peter was brash, he was impulsive, he was prideful, he was hasty, he was a denier, he was inconsistent. But by the power of the Holy Spirit living inside him, he was a force to be reckoned with for the kingdom.
So what about you? Do you identify like I do with Peter? Being inconsistent or brash or quick to speak and slow to think? Are you faithless, prideful? Or maybe for you, it's maybe you're broken and you're lost and afraid. The words damaged, aimless, lost cause come to mind. Or maybe you're too careful, you're calculated, or you're afraid of losing control. I have good news for you guys. I would imagine that in this amount of people, that there's probably even more words that we might use to describe ourselves that are not becoming, I guess you could say. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can become overcomers, and we can become a force for the kingdom and something to be reckoned with because of the power of the Spirit. I learned once upon a time, like, I used to live my life thinking about, man, when I get to heaven, it's going to be so cool. And I just had my mind set on the end goal, because that was my understanding, is that I wanted to get to the end. But the older I get and the more I walk with Jesus, the more I realize it's about the everyday journey. It's about the middle part. It's about the day-to-day transformation and the opportunity that we have, not just necessarily to get to where Jesus is at, to get to heaven, but to bring heaven, to bring Jesus to where we are, and to a world that's broken, and to a world that's lost, and a world that needs Jesus. Another smart thing that Andy said a couple days ago, it's not so much, do I have the Holy Spirit, or do you have the Holy Spirit, but rather, does the Holy Spirit have you? And when he said that, I was just like, man, I could probably just say that one thing and just drop the mic and walk off. But it really struck me because I don't know about you guys, but like for a vast majority of my walk with Christ, I've been trying to do all the things, right? Trying in my own strength to be good, to read the word enough, to spend enough time in my quiet time praying, to be a good dad, to do all the things. Now, don't get me wrong, we need to do those things, and that's how those are the ways that we encounter the Holy Spirit. But I was focused on the end goal and not the transformation. I was trying to get the Holy Spirit instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to have me. And so, like, all this is kind of pointless, right? If we don't really have some practical things that we could apply to our lives and our hearts. So today, I have three things I want to say that will allow us to allow the Holy Spirit to have us. And that's a yielded will, a will that's yielded to the Holy Spirit, a will that is willing to do and to be whatever God is calling us to be, a heart that's abandoned to him, and a mind that's set on him. Now, practically, that looks a lot like spending time in the Word, spending time praying, spending time worshiping. This is just a bonus, a little sidebar here. But do you know what the common denominator, the mark of a Spirit-filled person is? It's the fruit that they bear. It's the prayer and the praise and the worship and the thanksgiving and the gratitude and the joy. And the word tells us that the Spirit inhabits the praises of his people. And so if that's true, if the mark of a Spirit-filled person is the fruit, the gratitude, the thanksgiving, the prayer, the worship, and the praise, it kind of is a cycle, right? We allow our heart to be yielded. We praise, we worship, we have a heart that's yielded. We have a heart of gratitude. The Spirit inhabits that. The Spirit hangs out in that. And because of that proximity of Jesus, because of being with Jesus, my parents always told me that you become, and I tell my kids, you become who you hang out with, right? You show me your friends, so I'll show you who you are. And so if your friend is the Holy Spirit, if you're spending time with the Holy Spirit, and if the Holy Spirit is living in that time that you're spending, it's kind of like compound interest, right? It just keeps feeding on itself. And so today, like, I guess I really just want to ask you this question one more time. Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And only you can answer that this morning. You have a yielded will to Jesus. You have an abandoned heart to him. A mind that's set on him.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.